we're in for a new What's Up Welland with an organization that's returning to share some seasonally appropriate information. The Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority, or much easier known as the NPCA, is here to remind us who they are and highlight some of their key work during these spring months. Ryan Kitchen and Erica Navarro are ready to share the scoop on flood forecasting, community engagement, and so much more. So, let's get to it. Joining me today for this What's Up Welland conversation is one return guest, one new guest to the show. Erica Navarro, Communications Specialist with the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority, is back. And joining her for the first time is Ryan Kitchen, Flood Risk Management Officer, also with the NPCA. Ryan, Erica, thank you so much for coming back, joining What's Up Welland. Nice to have you. And this is a very timely conversation because, well, nature is taking place out there. So let's dig into why you are here. But before we do that, let's give our listeners a friendly reminder as to what the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority is, what you do, what is your presence here in Niagara?
Absolutely. Thank you so much on behalf of myself and Ryan for having us today talking to the residents of Welland. The NPCA is a community-based natural resource management agency, and our work is to conserve, enhance, and sustain healthy watersheds, and that encompasses Niagara region and portions of Haldimand County and actually the city of Hamilton as well. Our jurisdiction transcends municipal boundaries. We've been doing this work for the past 65 years, so a very, very long time. It's really important work. And how we do that is we offer programs and services that focus on things like flood and hazard management, which we're talking about today, source water protection, species protection, ecosystem restoration, community stewardship, and land management. Land management, we are the trusted caretakers of 41 conservation areas in the Niagara Peninsula watershed. And those are held in trust for recreational purposes, education, and heritage preservation. Chances are that anybody listening to us today has engaged with the NPCA in one way or another. We help to keep your drinking water safe. We host and attend a ton of events throughout the year. So if you've attended, you know, anything for Earth Day or any library talk at any of your municipalities, you've seen us. We help to educate the next generation of environmental stewards through camps and day programs out at Balls Falls, among other different conservation areas. And if you've been to any of the nearby conservation areas, such as, you know, E.C. Brown, Waynflete Wetlands, the Waynflete Bog, Balls Falls, Chippewa Creek, you name it, you've definitely visited an NPCA conservation area and have engaged in any sort of recreational activity that we offer at those sites. I could go on for days, so if anybody is interested in learning more about what we do, there's always our website, a great list of resources and information, and that's npca.ca.
I mean, yes, people have undoubtedly engaged with the NPCA. Even looking out of a window as they are driving, they have seen the NPCA in full bloom, in action. And with both of you being on today, as I said, it's a timely conversation because we are now in spring. And let's be honest, whether it's spring or winter, our weather is bizarre at times, to say the least. And in the transition of seasons, in just weather conditions, at this time of year especially, flooding, things are melting, things are wet. What exactly is the NPCA's role as winter becomes spring and the volume of water is what it is out there?
Yeah, well, thanks for having us on, Paul. It's great to be here to speak about this important topic. Part of the NPCA's mandate is to protect people and property from natural hazards like flooding. It's been a wacky winter for sure. Typical years past, we've been a lot busier. But this spring has been fairly quiet with the lack of snow and precipitation that we've been seeing. And so what we do is we monitor and manage and watch the weather, essentially, to see what's coming down the pipe, so to speak. So we essentially are the eyes and ears of the watershed. We're constantly monitoring the weather forecasts daily. And we have a network of stream gauges as well as climate stations, which monitor precipitation and water levels and flow across the major creeks and watercourses across Niagara. So the Welland River being our major water course within Niagara, we have multiple stations on there all the way out into Hamilton. About six across Welland River, 20 Mile Creek, some of the smaller creeks in Fort Erie as well, in Niagara on the Lake. So we have our eyes out there, that's for sure, watching these. And all this data that we collect is posted to our website in near real time, actually. So, you know, as the precipitation's falling, we can see the trend, whether it's going up or down, in near real time. So as I was saying, we weren't really busy this winter with the lack of snow. But usually what we do is we're part of a provincial program where we monitor snow. So we have seven snow courses across Niagara, and where we measure the depth, weight of snow, and we translate that into how much water is on the surface in frozen form. And that gives us an idea as to what to anticipate when that starts to melt, or when we have like a rain on snow event. So that's typically some of the mechanisms and the methods that we flood is rain on snow, snow melt. But we have other sources of flooding. We're sandwiched in between two great lakes, Lake Ontario, Lake Erie. Back in 2019, we've had record water levels. So, you know, we're fairly busy with shoreline flooding. Both those, and it's not just in the spring that we get flooding. We get flooding year round. Thunderstorms is another mechanism where you get really heavy, intense rainfall, which can cause, you know, urban flooding, storm sewers and stuff like that can't carry that capacity of water coming down during a snowstorm. And so we're always, you know, out there watching. So if we do see something coming, we have the opportunity to issue messages at different levels to organizations such as the City of Welland, provincial agencies, other conservation authorities, and the general public. So the people of Welland will get these messages, whether it's through emails, social media, or our Alertable app.
So with regards to the monitoring you're doing, so yeah, if this was not a winter that kept you especially busy, is there anything that you are seeing right now as to what people should expect in or be prepared for this spring?
Well, as I said, this spring, it's been fairly quiet. But as I said, we're always watching the weather, right? As you can see, it's supposed to be raining right now. You know, it's calling for 10 millimeters of rain, and we got about two or three right now, so.
Yeah, every year we actually run this spring flooding awareness campaign, and coming to the What's Up Welland podcast is one of those things that support our campaign every year, where we promote the important work that we do, and we encourage members to stay alert, because even though we're not seeing rain, like we all just said, the weather can change fairly quickly. And funny enough, we just shared a social media post last week where Chris and Ryan are doing snow service, just as he talked about earlier. And while people may not see it, you know, okay, so there is no snow outside, why are they showing this picture? The weather can change in an instant, and then at that point, they might be out there again. Who knows? This program runs actually from the snow survey program is from November to May. So clearly there has been years where snow extends even into the spring. That's not uncommon. So it's always a timely subject to be talking about spring flooding.
Along the lines of, so the volume of water is not this year what it has been in the past. Just at that high level, for the sake of people knowing what to do to stay safe in the event of a flood, if that's not necessarily the case now, but just that education, that awareness, what are those how-tos for people to be aware of?
Yeah, some of the tips that we're sharing. So even though, yeah, you may not be seeing the normal things that are causing spring flooding, through the work that Ryan and his team, with Chris and Steve, through the work they do, they are still anticipating some events of heavy snowfall, heavy rain or storm-like events. So this, even though it's not melting snow or ice jams or any of that sort, there are still contributing to the potential flooding and the increase of water levels. So some of the ways that people can keep or ensure, I guess, that they are staying safe this season include things like keeping family and pets away from the edges of all bodies of water. That's just one example.
Yeah, and so teaching your children, you know, kids like to play around creek banks and stuff like that. So during times of high flow and cold water, I wouldn't recommend, you know, having your kids play around there. So teaching kids about this water safety, avoid recreational activities during flooding events. So fishing, canoeing, kayaking, all that sort of stuff. Higher flows typically hide hazards. You never know if there's a tree floating down the Welland River, right, that you might get tangled up in. So some of those things, not driving through flooded roadways. That's a pretty important one. The common saying is turn around, don't drown, I think is the common saying. So yeah, we want to avoid that. So if you see water across the road, if you see a water over the road sign, turn around and find another path. One thing too with high flows, it tends to take, you know, garbage, trash, people's lawn chairs, picnic tables. So if you do live in a floodplain and you do have those sorts of things in that area that typically get flooded, we would recommend, you know, moving those back to the house. And then obviously muddy banks, slippery slopes. You never know when you can lose your footing and fall into that cold water. Another great resource too is it's not just the conservation authorities that do this type of work, but it's also the provincial, the province of Ontario. They have the overall umbrella which mandate for flooding, but where there is a conservation authority, they have delegated those responsibilities to us. The province of Ontario has a good resource at ontario.ca/floods. And so they give you some good resources on before, during, and after a flood, and how you guys can prepare. One of the things to prepare is have a plan. Have an emergency kit, typically a 72-hour kit. Each person will have a different necessities, such as medications, pet food, water. So all those things can go into a 72-hour kit.
And an important thing that we're also encouraging people is, on top of all these things that you can do to prepare, also understand where you're looking for information ahead of time. Again, not necessarily when you're already experiencing a flood or when one is coming, but know ahead of time where you should be looking for information for flooding advisories, obviously the NPCA, and emergencies like your municipality, in this case, the City of Welland. In that case, that's where, you know, the work that Ryan does for the actual advising of an upcoming flood through the flood advisories, that's where that comes in.
Well, thank you so much for saying the word flood advisory, Erica, because on the heels of learning about the recommendations, learning about the suggestions, I wanted to ask, the flood advisories that the NPCA sends, there is a color-coded system that goes along with them. What is that system? What do the colors mean? How are you communicating what each of those four colors is? And I'm not going to say the colors because I'm going to leave that to the both of you.
Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, so there are thresholds, and it's very similar to a stoplight. You have green. Green means go, typically no flooding, go fishing, kayaking, canoeing, whatever. Then you work into the yellow, which is your like slow down, caution, typically an early warning. Usually there's either a flood outlook or a water safety statement. So water safety statement is just us letting people know that there's going to be higher than normal flows, but not anticipating any flooding. So just avoid those water bodies because they could be hazardous. And then a flood outlook is an early warning that flooding is potentially going to happen. And then you move into the orange category, which is again a flood watch. With a flood watch, conditions are ripe for the potential greater risk for flooding and a greater threat for flooding. And then you work into an actual flood warning. So during a flood warning, you're at the red category. That's typically the flood is either occurring or it is imminent and going to happen.
Yeah, it's important to note the difference in the colors and how you can see them as the same stoplight mechanism, because just because you see a flood advisory, whether that's, you know, yellow or orange, it doesn't necessarily mean warning. The warning piece comes with the red. And depending on the color, they mean different things, and they encourage, whether that's the municipality, organization, or the resident receiving this notice, to do different set of things. One is, you know, just stay alert, be mindful of where you things are, start planning ahead, know where to find information. The other one is, you know, start planning for that potential flooding event, or if you're locked at home, or if you have to go somewhere. By the time you get to orange, and especially red, at that point you should be looking to your municipality to advise you, you know, if it ever gets to the case of an evacuation or something of the sort, understanding what your plans are that you're going to put in place, again, depending on the color.
So, Erica, you mentioned basically residents being aware, and one of you said the word alertable before. So The NPCA, yes, you use four colors to communicate flooding, but how else are you communicating with people? How else are you giving them awareness as to what is going on out in the natural world? What is this alertable that one of you mentioned before?
So yeah, we use the typical channels, you know, email, social media, as well as the standard media, such as radio and TV. But we have been using this Alertable app, which is a free open source software, both available on Android and iOS. And it is a reliable emergency alert software platform used by local, municipal, provincial governments, typically used out west. They're making inroads into Ontario. The NPCA is one of the first users of Alertable within Ontario, so we're proud to use that. And it widens our audience. So with this Alertable app, it also ingests Environment Canada and climate change, ingests their weather alerts as well as our flooding advisories.
So please, if you're a listener listening, download the Alertable app on Apple or even on your computer. The nice thing about this is where you would normally go to our website or our social media or listen to the news, this gives you the alert directly to your phone. So no more having to look for that information, but you can actually walk around in a rainy day with a peace of mind that if something is happening in your area, you can get that alert on your phone. And the other nice thing about it is that you can modify your preferences and your settings. So if you're living near Lake Erie, for example, you won't get the alert. You can set it up this way anyway to not receive the alerts that are happening farther from you. A lot of alerts went out for Lake Erie the last year or two. So you would only, if you set it up that way, you would only get the alerts that are relevant to your area. So that's really nice.
Well, I can promise you that as this episode gets posted, I will make sure there is a link to your website and that people can easily find more information, not only about the NPCA, but about this app. Because if it sounds as fantastic as you're describing, why not direct people to it? If it is something that can be used year round, if it's something that feeds them information without them having to seek it out, let's share word of that.
Thank you. That's amazing.
So as far as sharing word about things, the NPCA does not just do flood awareness information. They are active 365 days of the year. They are active not just in Welland, but all the way across their catchment area. What is community activity-wise, awareness-wise, what else is going on with the NPCA that, since we are chatting with you today, please bring us that awareness?
Bring us up to speed, of course. Lots of great things happening at the NPCA this year. Obviously, as the rest of Ontario, pretty much, or the rest of the world, really, is preparing for the solar eclipse that's happening here in our area. So next Monday, we're celebrating the solar eclipse by hosting several events at three of our conservation areas. That's Long Beach, Balls Falls, and Bimbrook. You'll be able to find more information on npca.ca/events. Reservations are required so that we can prepare ahead of time. We are preparing to also open our conservation areas for the season. That's the active season where you find things like, you know, canoe or kayak rentals, and you have more active recreation rather than just hiking and bird watching in a conservation area. So we want to make sure that we can prepare ahead of time and we know what to expect in terms of groups of people and visitors ahead of time. So if you can make a reservation, please do so. We're also looking forward to celebrating Earth Day. So Earth Day is a very important day of the year for us every year. Probably our busiest time of the year for especially our community outreach and stewardship teams. And we'll be at a variety of events all throughout the watershed. This year you'll catch us at the Seaway Mall for their Earth Day celebration. And more information should be on their website and will be available on our website as well. And of course, this year we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Balls Falls Thanksgiving Festival. And while that's not Welland, it is a huge Niagara staple where people from even beyond Niagara, Hamilton, the GTA, and far, far beyond that, they visit us every year. I think our record year, we had about 30,000 people come out in 2019, I believe it was. So this year will be a big deal. We're celebrating 50 years. That's a huge milestone.
And I think it's a big enough deal that we're going to have you back, Erica, to talk, let's say, specifically about that. Because It's not in Welland, but it is so well known in Niagara. Yeah, let's welcome you back for a very, very specific conversation along those lines.
Happy to join for that. Another item we have is we're also encouraging people to join the City Nature Challenge. And it's going to be a really fun, entertaining challenge because we have participating cities, which include Welland, Niagara Falls, and St. Catharines. So if you are listening and you want to make sure Welland takes the trophy home, even though there isn't actually a trophy, it is the City Nature Challenge is an international effort for literally anybody to find and document plants and wildlife in cities across the world. It creates a friendly competition between all sorts of neighboring cities and municipalities to see who can find the most species and engage the most people and make the most observations. So all of this, I believe, as you're gathering data, goes into a larger database for that participating municipality. This is happening at the end of April. I believe the actual time when people start collecting their data starts April 26th. And then early May, we would figure out who has won. Again, more information will be shared on our website and on our social media. So make sure you give us a follow.
Erica, Ryan, as this conversation wraps up, it's an open question to either of you, both of you. What does 2024 look like for the NPCA?
We have a lot of celebrations and milestones, so we'll certainly be back to chat with you about those, as well as any new events and initiatives that come up. NPCA is an organization that has always, for many years, I've been with the NPCA for now 6 years, and Ryan, I think you even longer than that.
16,
wow. So we're always changing, we're always adapting and certainly improving, always on the way up. And with that being said, there has been a lot of changes that have come from the province to the Conservation Authorities Act, but we always, you know, adapt, pivot, and improve where we can. With all those changes will also come a lot of great opportunities to engage with the people of the watershed even more, and specifically the people of Welland. So we have a couple strategies that we'll be working on throughout the year. They're due at the end of the year to the province. So listeners can certainly expect to hear a lot more from the NPCA and have a lot more opportunities to engage. A little bit of a bittersweet, but we are saying goodbye to the city of Welland as well as our home base. So we've been located at 250 Thorold Road for a very long time. I don't even know how long.
Longer than I've been here.
All right, well, longer than 16 years. And we'll now be located at 3350 Merrittville Highway in Thorold, which is just near Niagara Region Headquarters in Brock. But that doesn't mean that you won't hear from us again. We'll definitely be back.
Oh, you most certainly will be back. And you said the word change before. And with change comes stories, and stories necessitate more conversations. So absolutely, whoever from the NPCA can share those stories are most welcome to come back here. And I'm looking forward to it. I hope I can speak for, well, no, I am going to speak for my listeners in saying we can all look forward to that. So Ryan, Erica, thank you very much for bringing a timely conversation to What's Up Welland and for priming the pump for what is ahead the next time we get to host guests from the NPCA.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here.
Yes, thanks again.
With so much happening in the NPCA and their respective roles, a huge thanks is in order for Ryan and Erica coming to chat with me today. From the ongoing programs and services that support our watershed, to the awareness and alerts that keep communities informed and safe, there's always so much to learn whenever friends from the NPCA pull up a mic and get going. With a website full of information, especially that color-coded flood status, and an app that advises of weather alerts, it's definitely worth keeping up with what's happening with the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority. Yes, they've been on the show before, and they'll be back again, and you can catch those episodes, past and future, and all of our other ones by visiting engagewelland.ca/podcast.